Haven't seen y'all in a while. All right. So holidays are coming up. Next month is November. And as I was thinking about this lesson this week, I kept thinking about Thanksgiving and turkey and food and, you know, all those awesome things that are coming up pretty soon. But as I was kind of thinking through that, I was remembering some times when I was little where I got to sit at the kids' table. Do y'all remember that? Anybody have that experience? Anybody have a kids' table growing up? And so, you know, we understand what that means. It means that, you know, the parents need a break and the kids get the kids' table, right? And so they get a smaller table somewhere a little way from the rest of us and everybody else where they get to sit and do their thing. But do you remember the day that you moved from the kid table to the adult table? You think back and remember that day? You know, I mean, I don't know if you remember it or not, but if you do, you would recognize how uncomfortable that was. You know, that whole sense of, you know, now what do I do? I mean, I don't get the little plastic cups anymore, you know? I don't have the everything disposable anymore, and I'm sitting at the adult table. And, you know, there are things that are appropriate at the kids' table that are simply not appropriate at the adult's table, right? And so we know that, and we're conscious of that, and we're thinking, oh, and, you know, there's a sense that there is some discomfort there in making that move to the other table. And I think we can all relate to that and kind of feel that experience. It's a little scary. Or maybe your situation wasn't like that. Maybe you had a situation where you went out to dinner with maybe the owner of the company you work for, or somebody that you knew, that you respected, that you felt like that you just needed to, you know, just kind of watch what you do, maybe what you say, but just be careful with, you know? And we understand that feeling of just feeling like, you know, I need to be careful. I need to be careful how I act. I need to be careful how I respond because of the person I'm sitting with, that I need to be mindful of these things. And we might understand the discomfort in sitting at a table like that. But in Jesus's day, sitting at a table meant more than just sharing a meal with somebody. It was more than just coming together at a table and eating really quick and getting back to work or having a business conversation. When a person sat at a table with somebody else, it identified them. It called out their identity and their fellowship with the people they were sitting with. That table was important. That fellowship, that table fellowship, was vitally important to the culture of Jesus's day. But not just the table, but where you sat at the table identified your position, your status within that community. And so if you're sitting at a prestigious table and you're sitting at the head of the table, that is going to identify you in regards to those who come and see or look from a distance to see who is sitting with you, to see who is there. And from there, they began to set in order of importance as they moved further and further away from the head of the table. But these things were vitally important to the culture. And what they are saying is who is in and who is out, right? Who is included in our group, in our community, in our belief system, in our understanding of things, and who is excluded from those things? Who we consider in and who we consider out. And for the Pharisees, this was an especially sensitive tradition, because to them, those who sat at table with them had not only fellowship with them, but identified with God the way they identified with God. That kind of table fellowship put them in positions of God's kingdom. But who made those decisions? I mean, who put those people at that table? Who identified those people and placed them in positions of importance? They did, right? But they recognized that culturally as significant in God's family, in God's relationship with God's people. But when we get to Luke chapter 14, we see a moment in time before, of course, they all go full rogue on Jesus, that the Pharisees begin to kind of invite him in. You know, and there obviously are some ulterior motives to their invitation, but they still recognize him as a rabbi. They recognize him as a teacher. They recognize him as being important, knowing the law. And so they invite him in. And in chapter 14 of Luke's gospel, we have such an invitation that Jesus accepts. In verse 1, he says, that when he, that is Jesus, went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees, so not just one of the elite group, but one of the leaders of the elite group, on the Sabbath to eat bread. And they were watching him closely, right? And so the Jews have already accused Jesus of eating with sinners and tax collectors. Now, then again, they define these people on their own terms, the included and the excluded. And Jesus has eaten with these excluded people according to them, and they have called him out on this. They've already accused his disciples of breaking certain Sabbath traditions. And so now we have a scene where we have both the meal, the table, and the Sabbath all brought into one story, one scenario. And I really feel like that they should just rehead this as the most uncomfortable meal ever, right? Because Luke wants us to see this and say they were watching him closely, right? They were just staring at him and looking at him and wondering what he's going to do. What is Jesus going to say? What is Jesus going to do? And if you read on, you'll recognize that's a trap, but I just wanted to set the scene for our parable that Jesus is going to be telling about a banquet. So if you skip down to verse 16, this is where I want us to be this morning. This is Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. And it says, a man was given a big dinner. So he's giving this parable. The scene is this Pharisee's house, the meal that they're sharing. A man was given a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. So this parable is actually in response, because that's how Jesus rolls, right? I mean, it's in response to a statement that was made by one of the guests in verse 15, where the guest boldly states, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus kind of rolls into this parable about this man. But we know that the underlining message here is the kingdom of heaven, is a great banquet that God would throw for his people, that anticipated banquet of the Messiah. And the question, who will be at the table in the kingdom, is one that has been on their minds for centuries. And every one of these people are going to say, me, I'm going to be at the table, right? Because of fill in the blanks, you know? And so there is this tension amongst all these people about who will be at the table, God's table, the Messiah's table, at the great banquet of the kingdom. In other words, who will be included and who will be excluded? But then again, who makes that choice? Who makes that choice? Who gets to choose who is in and who is out? Who gets to choose who is welcome at the Messiah's table and who is not welcome at the Messiah's table? Because we know this is more than just sharing a meal. This is more than just having brunch. This is more than having dinner with somebody. That this is about fellowship with God. That this is about fellowship with one another. Because the truth of the matter is, they all knew that those who sit at his table are those who belong to him. That is how God viewed this. And that is how they viewed it also, right? But they wanted to choose who was in and who was out, who was saved and who was lost. And of course, we know if you were to ask the Pharisees, that they would quickly tell you it's them, right? That they were the ones who were in, that they would be the blessed ones who would break bread at the table of the Lord, at the table of God, that they would be the ones who would be in the kingdom. And those who they identified with, those who they said would be in, would be the ones who would join them. And so the Pharisees are calling Israel to join them. Come, join me. That's the invitation, right? Come and join us, because we are at the table. And someday we will be at the table, and if you join us, you can at least have a seat somewhere down there, right? Because we're going to be up here. You can be down there, but you'll be at the table. And so there's an invitation that the Pharisees are offering to the Jewish people to come and sit at the Lord's table. Look at verse 18. The parable continues, but they all alike began to make excuses. Right? The first said to him, I have bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. And another one says that I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. Jesus has been going around with his disciples, preaching and teaching the gospel of the kingdom, inviting people to follow him, seeking out the lost sheep of Israel, inviting those very people who are reclining at the table with him to share a meal with him, to join him, to eat at his table. And he's been going all over the Jewish world, inviting these people in. These people who should have known and anticipated and expected God's messianic kingdom to come with a great banquet, to come and join him and be part of his family, to be part of his fellowship. But I want you to look for just a minute at some of these people who are being spoken of, the ones who have all the excuses. Who are they? They're people who buy land. Right? There are people who can afford lots of oxen. There are people who are getting married. There are people who have means. There are people that in all intents and purposes in the Jewish community, the Pharisees would recognize as people who were blessed, people who were in the included kinds of people. And for those reasons, they cannot come to the table, right? Right? The very reason that the Pharisees would say, yeah, those people are in, look at them. They have land, they have oxen, they're getting married, they're doing all the right stuff, they're living life, they're good people, they're righteous people by our standards, they eat at our table, therefore they are in. But Jesus says, those are the people I've been calling. I've been inviting these people to my table, and every single one of them has some excuse as to why they will not dine. They will not break bread. They will not eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. They have some reason why they will not heed the invitation. And then in verse 21, it says, and the slave came back and reported this to the master. And then the head of the household became angry, and he said to his slave, go at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you have commanded has already been done, and still there's room. So you can kind of get the image if you're thinking about the parable and the imagery. You know, having a meal was a big deal. Right? This wasn't some small event. This wasn't something simple. They didn't just get invited to McDonald's, right, to have a Happy Meal. I mean, this is a big deal. Lots of preparation, lots of time invested in this. Lots of people that should have been excited in any other circumstance. They would have been excited to share in such a banquet. In any other circumstance, they would have given up everything to join in so that they could be seen at the table with certain people. But for whatever reason in this parable, they come up with every excuse as to why they will not be there. But look at the people who are there. Look at the people who are there. These poor, these crippled, these blind, these lame, these are the very people that the Pharisees would have quickly said, they're excluded. They cannot eat at our table. We would be defiled if they sat at our table. We cannot eat with these kinds of people. But those are the very people who accepted the invitation. And the others had excuses as to why they would not dine at the table, right? These are the blessed ones. These are the ones that are blessed, not the ones who have means, not the ones who are religious leaders, not the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ones who are self-proclaimed table sitters, right? That these people that most in that community would have saw as sinners and outcasts, Jesus is recognizing them in this parable as the blessed ones who will sit and dine at the table. They will accept the invitation to come and sit. These are the people God will say, are in, right? They are included. They are in. Not because they're poor and crippled and lame. That's not the reason they're in. That's not the reason they're in. And it's not because they are perfect law keepers. That's not the reason they're in either. The only reason that these people are in is because they accepted the invitation to come and dine at the banquet, and the others did not. God is the one who makes that choice. God is the one who gives the invitation. And these are the ones who accepted it, and the others did not. Look at verse 23. He says, and the master said to the slave, go out into the highways along with the hedges and compel them to come in. Now, this language is indicative of the Gentiles in the Jewish world. And so he's talking about in the community of the Jews, those who were the haves and the have-nots, they come. And then he's talking about the Gentile community, those outside of covenant relationship with God. And so they're being called and to compel them to come in so that my house will be filled. Folks, the gospel is for everyone. The banquet is for everyone. The good news is for everyone. Everyone is invited to live out and accept and to believe and to commit themselves to the gospel. Everyone is invited to come and dine at the table. Everyone's invited. But not everyone will accept the invitation. Oh, they may. In some form, they may say that they accept the invitation, or they may say that, yeah, you know, I'm in, but they want to do it on their own terms. They want to do it some other way. They want to come up with some reason why they could stand before the people and say, I'm in, without regarding what God says about who is in and who is out. These are the kinds of people that accept the invitation. Look at verse 24. He says, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner. They won't be there, right? They won't be there. Many Jews did, right? We know that. I mean, that's not the meaning of this. Jesus isn't saying, you know, that no Jews are ever going to do it or no Pharisees are ever going to accept it, because we know Paul, and he was a Pharisee, and he accepted the invitation, and there are others who did as well. There are scribes who accepted it, the invitation, but many of them did not. Many of them did not. Many of those reclining at the table with Jesus on that day in that Pharisee's house did not accept that invitation to come and recline with Jesus at the banquet to eat bread in the kingdom of God. Many would decline the invitation. You see, God is indeed inviting everyone to the table. He's inviting everyone. And if we really grasp the significance of the table scene in those days, we understand how important that is. He's inviting everyone to have fellowship with him. He's inviting everyone to enjoy what he is offering, to bring about this new reality, this new covenant relationship with him. And then again, there's kind of a now aspect to this and a future aspect to this, right? We've talked about this in many other lessons where when we receive and accept the invitation to come to Jesus and partake of him, that we are presently dining in that kingdom reality. But then we have another aspect where we will someday dine in this great banquet feast of the Messiah. So there's a now and a then aspect to this story. But the only thing that was keeping those of Jesus' day of accepting this. And the only thing that is keeping people of this day of accepting the invitation are all the many excuses that we have, right? Excuses like, I've bought land and I need to go see to it. Or I've bought oxen and I've got to go take care of them. I've got a family, Jesus, and I just can't come. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a rain check on the banquet meal. All of these many excuses to the reason why we cannot come to the table today, right? Or the one the Pharisees seem to favor, I'm already there. I'm already in. That when that day comes, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not worried about it. I'm already there. I'm at the table. I will be in, right? That was their excuse, is they were already in, right? Because everyone who believes that there is a God believes that when that time comes, you just ask them, go ask them. Everybody who believes in God and believes in Jesus, they believe that when that time comes, they will gladly accept the invitation to dine with the Lord, right? You've seen that. I've seen that. Maybe I've even used that excuse myself that, you know, when that day comes, Lord, I'll be there. I'll make that commitment. I will trust in you. I will put my faith in you. I will change my life when that invitation is offered. But the truth is, they won't. Right? We know that. The truth is, they won't. They won't because, for one, that's not how the invitation works. But secondly, it's human weakness. Right? We all have this idea that we're going to eat cake today and eat salad tomorrow, right? We all think that way, that we have that kind of mindset that we're going to do it tomorrow, that tomorrow is the day that I'll do it. Tomorrow is the day that I'll do better. Tomorrow is the day that I'm going to keep the law. Tomorrow is the day that I'm going to be righteous. Tomorrow is the day that I'm going to accept the invitation. We all have that human weakness. Right? And for these Jews to say, I keep the law and I'm a teacher of the law and I'm surely accepting the invitation when the time comes, I'll be at the table, I will dine with the Lord, I am righteous, to those very people that are saying these very things but living a very different kind of life, a very hypocritical kind of life, Jesus says to those people, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner, right? And it's easy, I think, to read parables like this and to say that I would never do that, right? I mean, we read the whole Bible like that, don't we? I would never do that. I would never do that. I would never decline the invitation. If I were one of those sitting at the table at the Pharisee's house, I would have surely listened to Jesus and accepted his words, because that's how we think, right? That's how we kind of rationalize that, right? That I, if I had received that invitation, I would have dropped everything and I would have gone. And that's what the Pharisees are thinking. They're thinking when the Messiah comes, yeah, you better believe it. That invitation's going to come. That dinner's coming and I'm going to be there. I'm going to accept that invitation. I am not to miss it. And Jesus uses this parable to say, you will miss it, but it will be of your own choosing. You will choose to miss it. You will choose not to accept it, right? Because when we choose to live our life now, when we choose to live our life now and join Jesus later, we've declined the invitation. You see that? And that's what Jesus knew. He knew that when those people sitting at that table were not accepting of him, when those people sitting at that table were doing nothing but trying to deceive and to trap him in his words and his ways, when those people sitting at that table on that day had already in their heart and in their mind planned a plan to get rid of this man who was troubling them in their way of life, that Jesus knew already they have declined the invitation. And when we presently, folks, listen to me, when we presently refuse When we choose not to live the life that we are called to live now, if we choose not to submit ourselves to Jesus today, if we choose not to live faithfully today, not tomorrow, because we all know what happens to the salad of tomorrow. It grows old and brown in the fridge and never gets eaten, and the cake's still there. We know how that works. You know how that works. I know how that works. But when we choose today not to live the life that we are called to live, not to submit to Jesus today, we are declining the invitation. There's none of this, Jesus is going to open up the heavens and call everybody and say, come on in, guys. You know, you who want to be part of the kingdom of heaven, come on. No, it's today. It's today. It's the people who are living it today. It's the people who are dining at the table of the Messiah presently today that will be there. And those who have chosen something different, those who have chosen to live their own lives, those who have chosen not to pick up their cross and follow Jesus now will not be there. Folks, there will not be a second chance. There will not be another time where Jesus is going to give us a pass and kind of give us some pre-warning. That's not going to happen, folks. But Jesus knows what these Pharisees don't know, is if they're not living it now, they will not live it later. We need to be mindful that when we come together, when we worship him, when we even partake of the communion as we just did, that all of these things we do, when we live the life that God has called us and we eat of Jesus and consume him as our life, his life, and we do those things presently, that we are dining at the Messiah's table now, with the expectation, the hope that someday we will be there permanently, right? And we're doing it now. And because we've done it now, we've accepted the invitation and we will be there. But if we have chosen not to, if we've chosen something else, if we've chosen to live our own lives, if we've chosen to do our own thing and to ignore Jesus and not to live the life that he has called us to live, we have declined the invitation and there will not be another chance. God's inviting everyone to the table. He wants everyone at his table. He wants everyone to dine at his table. And the question is, are you receiving that invitation with gladness? Or are you coming up with every excuse you can not to? We need to make that decision today. And if there's anybody here this morning who maybe you've accepted the invitation at one time and you thought, yes, I'm going to do this. And, you know, oh man, life, you know, that nice cold chocolate cake in the fridge just kind of calls you, you know, and the salad goes rancid and you're thinking, well, I'm not going to eat that. We have to recognize that we do this every single day, every time we wake up in the morning, every moment. And if you've been on this path and you've gone astray from that, this is a time to come back and let us help you and pray for you. Maybe you've never even begun the journey. The journey begins when we, believing in Jesus, commit ourselves through baptism, have our sins washed away so that we may die his death and live his life. And if you haven't committed yourself to Jesus and you want to today, this is the day of salvation. Heed it now. If you want to go ahead and open your songbooks to 572, I surrender it all.